kind of in a little sub-part of the life of Abraham. If you look in Genesis chapter 11, he kind of comes on the scene, and you follow Abraham through a number of stories in his life. And we've looked at those stories in chapter 11 and 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, and then we're into chapter 19 today, but kind of a little mini subsection. Beginning in chapter 18, God comes with a couple of angels to earth, and he comes and has fellowship with Abraham at his house. And he talks about some things. They have a meal together. And then there's a very interesting thing that happens. The second part of that chapter, the two angels head towards a city called Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham and God have a little conversation. And they talk about sparing a city or cities because there are righteous people there. And we look into that, and we see that God is an incredibly gracious God as he goes from a number of people. I think we start at 50, and we get down to 10. And God said, I'll spare it for 10 people. We back up. Abraham had a cousin named Lot. And early on in those chapters, back in about chapter 12, if I'm not mistaken, they're so big in their family groups, Abraham's family and Lot's, that they have to separate. And you remember that. They looked over the land, and Abraham could have taken the choice. But he passed it on to Lot, and Lot looked out and saw green pastures and watered area, and he chose to go in that direction. The problem in that direction were some cities that were there called Sodom and Gomorrah. And he made that decision, and we know that he was living outside of the city in those early chapters. And then as we continue to follow the life of Abraham, we see that Lot has moved from outside the city to actually in the city. And when we pick him up today in the story, he is actually living in one of those cities, and he is one of the residents. Now, we're going to look at this story today as we continue. And it's been a period of time. We talked about the fact that from chapter 11 to chapter 20, we're looking at 25 years of time has taken place. So during that time, about 20 years of that time, Lot has been living in this area and slowly moving into the city. And he moves in at some point. We don't know when. Now, what effect does that have? If you're going to move into a city which you know is unrighteous, which you know is against God, what is the effect of sin? How can it affect you? What things will it do to not only you, but also to your family? And so as we continue this morning, we're going to answer that question. What are the effects of sin? And they may be a little surprising to you as you look at this chapter, as we look at this together. Okay, so let's bring it up then. We're in the series entitled Becoming God's Friend. Today is, what are the dangers of living in the world? And that's my analogy. He has moved towards these cities and adopted them. We're going to see that his family is intertwined with people in those cities. And we're going to look at this in Genesis chapter 19. We've got 38 verses today. Yeah. No, we'll move through them quickly. We have 38 verses, but you're going to want to go to page 12 in your Bible. Let me introduce this story, as I have done already, and let's start reading together and see what happens. Remember, we've got two angels. They are walking towards this city. Well, they actually get there. Let's see what happens, and let's see what are the dangers of living in the world. Okay. Here we go. Chapter 19 and verse 1. Here we go. The two angels arrived in Sodom in the evening. And Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up and met them and bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can come in, wash your feet, spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered. We will spend the night in the square. All right, very common in a city to have a main gate and people would pass through this gate. A lot of people, especially in the evening hours when it was cooler, would sit in the gate in the conversations of the day and things like that. Well, these gentlemen came, and Lot recognized them. And often, people would go into a city, and in that day and that time, you could go to the center of the city square, and there would be a place to sleep. You didn't know anybody or didn't have friends, and so that was what the practice they were going to do. And Lot, when he met them, said, "No, no, no, let's not do that. Let's not go there, and I want you to come to my house." All right, verse 3. But he insisted, look at this, so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast. All right, why would he bake bread without yeast? I didn't know this, so it would be quicker and it wouldn't take as long. I don't know if you ever look at these things. I don't know why that's included, but he was in a hurry to do that, and so he baked bread without yeast. I mean, it's interesting, some of the things that are mentioned, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all right, so they spent some time talking and discussing things, and then it was later in the evening, verse 4. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." All right. Wow. Bring them out so we can have sex with them. Men having sex with men. All right? So, let's see exactly what's going on here. Okay, let's move to the next screen on this, if we can, Regina. Now, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. There sometimes seems to be some kind of a doubt as to what the sin is. Let me make it clear, because the scripture makes it very clear what this sin is. Interesting. In this chapter, folks, we're going to look at two sins. And this is one of the darkest chapters in the whole Bible. There are others, but this is one of the darkest chapters in the Bible, recorded in God's Word. All right, so let's do this. What you've got are three blanks below the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me give you three verses that'll kind of spell this out, and we can look at it. Okay, so the first one is Genesis 18:20. So on that first little line, just put Genesis 18:20, and then you've got two more verses in a minute. Now, we saw this from the last chapter when we looked at the account of God coming down to visit these cities because their sin has come before him. Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous. So how does God look at sin? And how does he look at this particular sin? Well, it starts out, is so great, and their sin is so grievous. All right, what is it, though? All right, now let's go to the New Testament. We're going to be in Jude. Just write Jude 1:7. On there. It's actually just one chapter, so it's actually Jude, verse 7. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. And in chapter 4, in chapter 19, which we're reading, it talked about men having sex with men. Homosexuality is what it's talking about. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Now, folks, sin is sin, but when we're talking about this particular sin, it's very interesting to see. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. What does the Bible say about this? Not what our politicians say, not what your pastor says in a way. What does the Bible say about this sin? Okay, we got one more verse, Jude 1:7. The next one is Romans 1:26 and 27. Now, in Romans 1:26 and 27, it talks about a number of sins. This is not the only one, but it talks about this one too. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. Okay, verse 27. Let me bring that one up, Regina. There we go. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. All right, so here we have the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, men and women, is homosexuality. That's what it is. And we can see in Genesis 18, we can see in Jude, which refers back to it, and we can also see in Romans, it talks about this. Now, folks, this is probably not a very popular message today. And you get branded one way or another on this issue. Now, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that it's indecent. And there's even other verses. I could have multiplied verses on this. I decided not to. But to let you know that the Bible calls this sin. We've somehow relegated this to human rights and having human rights. The Bible does not refer to it in that way. The Bible refers to this issue as a moral choice, and a moral choice that the Bible teaches is a wrong moral choice. And that is the bottom line with this area. Now, I told the board, or some of the board, that I'd be talking about this week. And not being a very popular message or being narrow-minded or that doesn't matter. That's what this book teaches. And I had some board members talk to me in a very positive way saying, you know what, it's and in a way it's a cliche, but it's the truth. You got to love the sinner, you got to hate the sin. I was told that by one of our board members, and that is very true. And somehow we've singled out maybe this sin as being the almighty bad, bad, bad sin. Folks, this is sin. There's no doubt about it. But it's interesting. When someone comes to faith in Christ, the same amount of grace it took to save them, maybe not with this choice in their life, the same amount of grace it took to save them, the same amount of grace it took to save me as it did you. It's all God's grace. Now, this is a terrible sin, and we're going to see what the Bible defines and how God deals with this sin. But I think let's keep it in perspective of everything else that the Bible teaches about a number of sins. But clearly this is sin, and it is wrong, and God is hurt by it, and God does not in any way condone it, neither does the Bible. Okay? How's that for a light subject to start this morning off? Huh? All right. You know what's amazing about this chapter, folks? We're dealing with some really with sin here, but you're going to see God's grace in the middle of all this in a number of different ways. It is unbelievable how gracious God is. Okay, so we left them all in verse 5. Let me reread it. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind them and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing." He even knew it was wicked. Lot did. "Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you and you can do with them what you like. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof." That is about the worst idea I have ever heard in my life. Guys, excuse me, gentlemen, with daughters, can you imagine ever considering something like that? That is, Lot should be gonged. Maybe worse than gonged. That's a terrible suggestion. What are you doing, Lot? Well, we're going to get to some of this. What are the effects of sin and living in the world? All right, so he says, no, go, don't do this. All right, verse 9, "Get out of our way," they replied. And they said, "This fellow came here as an alien." So they knew when he moved into the area years ago. "And now he wants to play my judge. We'll treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. All right, so now they're coming forward and surrounding, and it's like, we're going to take you out, and we're going to go ahead, and we're going to get you. All right? But the men, verse 10, but the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. All right, they evidently come so close now. They were all around the house, maybe beating on the walls. We don't know. Then, verse 11, they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. All right, so all of a sudden, then they can't find the door. The two men said to Lot, do you have anyone else here, son-in-law, sons, daughters, anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against his people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, oh my goodness, Lot, who were pledged to marry his daughters. Another great decision. He said, hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. All right, joking. So now we're in the middle of this, where Lot and his family, they must have been terrified to be surrounded by many, many individuals. And maybe there was yelling and chanting, who knows, and coming and beating on the walls, we don't know. But it got that intense. And so they pulled him in, and then blindness hit everybody around the house. And it disoriented them and stopped them. And the angels turned and said, Lot, do you have anybody else in this city? Go talk to them and get out of here. Get out of here. This place is going to be destroyed. All right, now, that's the first 15 verses. Let's go to your outlines for a second and do this. All right, a couple things. If you are living in the world, now that's a phrase outside of the little box that I have. If you are living in the world, okay, then let's go to the next one. You could lose, and now we're going to look at three things you could lose, and the first one is the first 15 verses here. You could lose what? Your children. You could lose your children. And again, we are looking at a situation that is really bad. These cities were awful. He knew that. And he moved there anyway. And he stayed there. Let me tell you what. His children are what? Pledged to be married to men in this city. Is that heading for a train wreck? A disaster? A mess? And by his choice of moving close to the city and then moving into the city and adopting, after years, the principles of that city, he had his daughters pledged to men in this city. And unbelievable. You could lose your children. So dad and mom, when you make decisions about where you live, about who you hang out with, it may not get you right away. It may be years later. But you could lose your children. All right? You look at this and you're thinking, well, what can we lose? That's what's going on here. They were going to get them married and they were going to, who knows what was going to happen. I mean, to be married in that city with the practices they had. All right, you can lose your children. Be very careful the decisions you make, men and women, as single adults and as parents, or married families. Be very, very careful where you live and who you associate with. Well, let's continue. Okay. With the coming of dawn, now it's the next morning, verse 15, the angel urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, and or you will be swept away with when the city is punished. All right, so I'm not sure. How well do you think they slept that night? Not well. Good night. Who knows what was going on outside still. All right, guys, get out of here. Leave. And you know, the blindness and everything else that was going on. Look at verse 16. When he hesitated. Lot, what are you doing? The men, these would be the angels, grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. This whole plain is going to be destroyed. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." All right, here goes Lot again. "But Lot said to them, 'No, my lords, I please.'" What are you doing? You've been delivered from certain destruction. What is he doing? "But Lot said to them, 'No, my lords, I please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life.'" "Yes, they have, Lot. Get out of there." "But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to. It is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." And I can't even believe he's trying to negotiate this. But unbelievable how they respond to him. He said to them, "Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly because I cannot do anything until you reach it." That is why the town was called Zoar. "By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land." Okay, so they finally did get out. Can you believe this guy? They had to be dragged out of the city. They then negotiated where they were supposed to go. They were supposed to get out of that whole valley. And he said, "Wait a minute, can we stay in this town?" I'm telling you, God is gracious. I mean, God could have just consumed this guy and his family. But it's amazing what God's grace is. "By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had come up over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked back down towards Sodom and Gomorrah, towards all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe and overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. Right, it's interesting. How many people made it out? Four. Four actually made it out. Lot, his wife, and two daughters. God spared it. Yeah. God spared that city for four people. Remember last week we looked at 50, 40, 30, 20, 10 is where we stopped. But God in his graciousness spared that city until they got out for four. Now it's interesting, they were fleeing and his wife looks back and she turns into a pillar of salt. And I'll say something about that in just a minute. But she lost her life too. All right. Continual, habitual living in the world, living in sin will catch up with you. And the second thing that you can lose is this. You can lose your life. You can lose your life. We have examples of this in the New Testament also, but you can lose your own life. Death. It can happen. It can happen. All right, let's look at a couple things here. Look at Luke 17. Now, this is very interesting. Jesus is talking about coming again. And he's talking about when I come. And he's talking about the rapture in Luke 17, right around these verses. And it's interesting, he makes this point. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. And the analogy here of Lot's wife looking back towards that city is she didn't want to give up what she had. She was concerned more about that, and so she looked back and was judged instantly. It's interesting. Jesus uses this analogy. He is quoting from Genesis chapter 19 when he talks about this. And the analogy is that they were looking back, concerned what was happening, concerned what was going on, and were judged because of it. The second reference, I think there's room for these references, is 1 Corinthians 11:30. You think about this, in 1 Corinthians 11, we have the Lord's table. We have people getting drunk at the Lord's table. And judgment is talked about in a number of ways. This is why many among you are weak and sick, because of the practice in my house with the Lord's table. And a number of you have fallen asleep. Evidently, God's judgment had fallen there, too. Fallen asleep means they have died. All right. You can lose your children. You can lose your life. Now, we hope it gets better, but folks, continue with me on verse 30. Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains. They finally did actually go where they were supposed to go. For he was afraid to stay in Zoar. Well, yeah, it was going to. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. All right, here we go. One day, the older daughter said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man around here to lie with us, as is the custom all over the earth. Let's get our father to drink wine, and then lie with him, and preserve our family line through our father." Now we're talking about what? Incest. This chapter, we have homosexuality, and we have incest. That night, they got their father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and lay with him. He was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. The next day, the older daughter said to the younger, "Last night, I lay with my father. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight. So you go in and lie with him so we can preserve our family line through our father." Probably this idea came from them living in the city of Sodom. Many people think that I do. So they got their father to drink wine that night also, and the younger daughter went and lay with him. Again, he was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. Unbelievable. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab. He is what? The father of the Moabites today. Moabites. In fact, that's where Ruth enters into the story in the Old Testament. She is a Moabite. The younger daughter also had a son, and she named him Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites of today. And the Ammonites and the Moabites were, especially the Ammonites, were a constant problem. Constant problem. And the practices that they adopted, and they were enemies of Abraham and of Israel. All right, so we look at this chapter. This is one of the darkest chapters in the Bible. And just unbelievable what happened here. But let me suggest one other thing about living in the world, and it's this. Point three, you could lose your children's spiritual life too. You can lose your children's spiritual life. Not only can you lose your children, that was earlier, being married with the men of Sodom and just that whole mess. But more than that, you can lose your children's spiritual life. Look what they did. And part of that goes back to when they moved into this city and the practices of this city, the sin that was in this city, and it affected his children. Mom and Dad, be very careful. The decisions you make and where you live and the people you hang out with, it will and it can catch up to you and it can affect your children's spiritual life. Look what happened here. Look what practice they did. They can stray away from God. Your children can leave the faith. Unbelievable what has taken place in this chapter. All right. Now, I called it dangers of living in the world. I could have said dangers of living in Sodom and Gomorrah, but the reality is the world is all around us to a degree. We still have to make wise choices in what we do, and Lot was obviously not making wise choices. Offering his daughters to go out to these men, arguing, if you will, with angels about how far he's going to go? Unbelievable. Some of the terrible choices. Be very careful. In fact, let's just take a minute now. What I'd like to do as either parents or grandparents, I'd like all of you, or if you have grandchildren, doesn't matter, I'd like all of us just to bow our head for a moment and just recommit ourselves to walking close with God, and the reason is for our children's spiritual life. And we see the example of what can happen when we walk in a way that looks out for our own interests, our own desires, our own wants, as opposed to what God would have. Let's take a minute and just think about that. Think of your kids. Think of your grandkids. Take a moment and pray their names silently to God. Ask God to protect them. I know many of you do this every day, but we need to do this morning again. Some of you are not married, you don't have children, and you can say, in the future, God, help me to make wise decisions with my children, my grandchildren. Lord, we do thank you that have stories like this that are so dark. And yet, in your word, you present the good and the bad. And thank you for those examples so that we can learn to follow you more closely. And I know of every parent here, grandkids, children, maybe they're grown children, they're 30, 40, 50, 60. Lord, that you would draw them back to you if they're not close to you. Lord, that you would keep them and protect them. Lord, help us to recognize the choices we make, where we are, the people we associate with will influence us. Help us to be that positive influence. Thank you for your grace that is so amazing. You spared four people in the city. You allowed in your graciousness that even when the act took place between a mother and daughter, that you still were gracious in that, not condoning the act at all. Lord, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because your compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lord, we recognize we fall short, we are sinful, and we ask for your forgiveness. Cleanse us, help us to make the kind of decisions that would be God-honoring, people-pleasing decisions. Lord, thank you for this story. Thank you for your love of every sinner. No matter what their sin, you love them. Give us the wisdom, the compassion to love the sinner also, no matter what their sin is.